Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Janet, I've got to say that I was a big fan of The Real Housewives show.
Great.
And, but one thing I've wanted to find out about yourself is basically what life was like for you before the show. What I find interesting is sort of where you grew up and sort of how did you get to the point that you were just before the show?
Goodness, I have to tell you, so it's been so overwhelming because, of course, 12 months ago, we were just in the street walking around like anybody else.
Yeah.
And before that, I was a property developer. I have been for about 22 years.
Wow.
And my son was in a fire about 3 years ago. And so I'd been doing a lot of in the hospital. I'd spend a lot of time in hospital and working. And we were approached by these girls. I'd just left my husband and I lived in Melbourne. I grew up in Melbourne. I went to MLC. And I was on an adventure. You know, I thought, that's it. This is my second marriage has fallen apart. I'm doing everything. And let me tell you, I'm doing a lot of things and that I didn't used to do when I was married. And I just thought, yes, it sounds like a bit of an adventure. I'll have a go. We didn't think it would be anything like how it's turned out. And it's just been overwhelming and really exciting.
Excellent, excellent. And one thing that I loved about yourself on the show, but I suppose I want to ask, do you like the way that you're perceived on the show? Is that the real you?
Definitely. Unfortunately, in my case, I have to say mea culpa, yes. As I said, what can I say? I know it's all the, you know, they didn't put any really nice things. I did some nice things on there too, you know, occasionally. I didn't always just pass stories around in the toilet. But yes, I did get caught passing around stories in the toilet. And I did. I was, I had left my husband. I was pretty sort of messy. I was living in a hotel, beautiful hotel, but still I wasn't living at home. And I just didn't have any sort of opportunity to manage my image at all. I was lucky to make it there. I was really struggling. So everything that they said, I said, yes, I did.
Well, I reckon that you came out better off than some of the others on the show. Like a lot of people did get a bit of a bad rap on the show. I think Gina got a bit of a bad rap and Andrea sort of went head to head throughout the course of the show. They've made up now, have they?
Look, they have made up now, but what happened was that, so we finished filming in November. We were all great mates. It was all good. We were all going along. And then the show started to air in February.
Ah.
When it started to air, and we had seen some of the episodes earlier, and we sort of started getting reactions from people, the whole thing with Andrea and Gina blew up again, and it was in the papers, and we all had to have an opinion on it. And the whole thing was just this massive fight. And people think, oh, you know, maybe it's been put on. But we were so distraught over all the arguing that, you know, we had some really sad, unhappy nights about it.
Wow.
Because we really are feeling it. It's not as though, it's not for the cameras, believe me. We're trying to tone it down for the cameras.
So you weren't actually shown the episodes before they went to air?
We were. We were shown the first three episodes we all saw together, and we all went in and we had champagne and we were so excited, and we saw them 1, 2, 3, and then Gina and I were outside first having a little chat, and the other girls all walked out. Nobody spoke to anyone because we actually got the opportunity to see what each of us was saying about each other, because
right,
we only knew our own shoots. So that started a little bit of argy-bargy, and then, you know, things like I said something about that Lydia, Lydia wasn't very bright, but I didn't. That was in the first week of filming, and I didn't know her very well.
Mm.
Now we're great mates. We're at the end, and she sees me say that she's not very bright, and it was like, oh, Lids, I'm so sorry.
Did you find it hard coming back from that, and sort of suddenly, like, you had all your first impressions and then you become great mates and then suddenly everyone else is seeing your first impressions for the first time? How much sort of tension did that cause?
Well, I think we were all in the same position, which was the one good thing. It wasn't as though just one person was doing it. We were all, I mean, Gina said some absolutely horrible things about us, and we were like, are you right?
Excuse me.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, everybody was in the same boat. So when, as long as we apologised to each other, and we knew, you know, they knew that that was done in the first week, and although Lydia didn't think that I thought that about her at the time. Yeah, I just had to say, look, I'm really sorry. That's what I thought at the time. And I think if you explain it.
Yeah, it's first impressions, isn't it, really?
Yes.
And there's not much you can do about that.
But nobody wants to give off a bad first impression.
No, that's true.
Now, did you watch any of the other Real Housewives from around the world before doing the show?
No, I did not know. And to sign our contract, we had to watch one episode. And I went home and I saw it up there and I watched Atlanta.
Ooh.
And there were all these women having a big fight, pulling off each other's wigs in fur around a swimming pool. And I rang them and I said to them, no way. There's no way I could possibly do that. And they said, oh, they sent me out three Beverly Hills episodes to watch. And I thought, oh, okay. But I really was terrified when I saw these women fighting. I thought, no.
Yeah, I'm not getting involved in that.
No.
Atlanta's pretty crazy. I reckon it's the tougher end of the Real Housewives from around the world.
And New Jersey.
Oh, and Jersey as well. Yeah, that's crazy. I think one of them's in prison now.
So, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty full on. It's very full on. So I can understand why you're a bit scared after seeing Atlanta for the first one.
It makes you think, though. You know, you may have thought, yeah, I'm going to do this. It's going to be great. It's going to be an adventure. But if you think about, I don't think I have any skeletons in my closet, but if anyone had any skeletons like these people that are going to jail, the whole world knows it. Well, the whole of Australia knows about it now. Gosh.
Have you found it a struggle suddenly being such a public figure?
Well, it's only been such a short period of time, and it is so great. Can I tell you, people come up to you and none of them come up and say, I hate you. They all come up and go, I love you, can I have a photo? And it's like all this like love fest going on. It's beautiful. I don't know what it's going to be like if it turns, but at the moment it's just the most, you know, everywhere you go, everybody is so nice to you.
Oh, ride it while it lasts.
Yeah, that's what I think. My 2 seconds of fame, I'm going to enjoy it.
But we are joined in the studio by Janet from The Real Housewives, and we've been having a chat about your time on the show.
Yeah.
But one thing that we did want to touch on was cyberbullying. So what sort of reaction have you had personally from on your social media pages? Has it been good or bad or a mixture of both?
Well, you can imagine that, and I'm not being rude, at my age, I didn't really do a lot of social media and I was always busy. And so then all of a sudden we had these Facebook pages and I had absolutely no idea. Yes, I did get, I had about 15 people that we isolated that were basically trolling me. And it was absolutely so distressing, the things that they were saying. So that in the end, what happened was that we organised to get somebody else to do, well, somebody else does my Facebook page for me now and just uploads the photos. But I was probably one of the least lot of bullying. Some of the other girls really got to the stage where it was just so bad, I could not believe it. I just couldn't believe it. The things that they would say about them. And I think they forget about the fact that you know, we did not necessarily pursue a career in the public eye, and we're all people, we're very sensitive, and people saying on mass, Monday mornings were the worst. Late Sunday night and Monday morning, it would just be like, oh my goodness, what are they saying about
us? When the reactions are just flying.
To the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unmoderated, because people, it's fresh from their minds, and they're going, oh my God, this happened, I can't believe she said that, etc. It's easy to just to just bag out people when they're on TV, because you forget that they're actual people.
Yes.
And you forget that, you know, what you're going and saying and going onto their Facebook page and posting awful things and all that sort of thing, it affects people.
It really does. And I was really pleased. I saw something on the morning show with that Carl Stefanovic. I think he's hilarious. And he was talking about the fact that he has all these people that get him on social media. And then the other girl, Liz, that was on, Lisa, she was saying she did too. And then all these other people started saying, look, we all get it. And it made me feel a lot better, because I felt that we were just being singled out. And, wow, it was really getting me down at one point.
Wow, that's incredible. And I do remember seeing somebody on Angela's page.
Andrea.
On Andrea's page. And look, that was pretty full on. But the person that was putting these terrible messages on had set up an account just to do that. And I think that is just, it's just terrible.
It really is true. That's what happened with me. I said about 15 people that we had. My Facebook man, the manager that manages it for me, went through, and all of the people that were doing this had maybe one or two or three friends that had only just been set up. So they did set up the page specifically to do that. There's a little bit of suspicion in there because a lot of the things that were said to some of the things that were said to us had actually been said to us by one of the cast members to our faces. And we were thinking, wow, is this like ESP or what's going on? How do these people know that that's something that she has said to us? So then it was all this stuff going. Yeah, it was really, really bad. And I think Andrea really copped it the worst because she was having the big disagreement. And the more that she was disagreeing, the more she was getting smashed on Facebook.
And the more that you're portrayed as the villain, the more that they edit it to make it look like Andrea was the one who was in the wrong, and the more she pursues her side of the argument, the more hated she's going to become.
And that's what was happening. It was just dreadful. And I mean, it, you know, I know her quite well now. I've worked with her. I love her. She's a fabulous girl. And I do think that the way that she was portrayed was a little more harsh than I know her. She's not like that how she is now. She's a lot of fun. She laughs all the time. I barely saw her laugh on the show. And yet, you know, when I'm with her, she's a really very happy, lovely woman. So it was really hurtful to see that that's how people were reacting. It really affected us.
Is she happy with the way that she was portrayed on the show?
I have not asked her that. Well,
okay.
But I am certain that she is not.
You would have to
be certain that she is not happy with the way that she's been portrayed. As I say, they take hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage of us. Then nobody's interested in the good stuff, you know, what they're interested in. And so
they want to make good TV.
They do.
Like, we want to make good radio. Like, we had Simon tell a story about when he got into an awkward, awkward situation with two dates. He feels awful about it, but we're all having a great laugh.
And I didn't realise. I thought it was just in the confines of this room and people out there listening who I can't see. But then having the rest of the people in the studio coming in saying, "I can't believe you did that." And
oh my god!
I'm sort of regretting that story now.
Well, look, the backlash, you see.
The awful backlash. Wait till you go on your Facebook page later on, and you'll see all this appalling messages.
I didn't think of that.
That's right.
One thing I did like about the show. There were some fun moments, like the dog party.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that. And I'd love to have a party like that for my dog.
And the dogs were so well behaved. They shot hundreds of hours of us. And yes, they did show things that were where we did have altercations, etc. But if you think of it, there are still, you know, 200 hours of us having fun, riding around in limos, drinking French champagne everywhere. We went to the best parties. We had so much fun actually making it and filming it. It was hilarious with five great girls that were all having fun as well. And so it was really good fun for us to make. Just we didn't realise it was going to look like that in the end.
Do you or have you signed on for season two?
Well, everybody signed for 3 years.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, at the beginning, everybody had to. And they've announced that there is a second season, but nobody knows who the cast is going to be. It's at their behest.
Oh, wow.
And they will pick up our options. So we know as much as what you guys do until they announce it. So we don't really know. So we're living in half in terror and half in anticipation.
And would you be up for a second season?
Well, now that I actually know how it all works and everything, yes, I would. A couple of the girls, I think, have to come back because they've got to redeem themselves.
But
I just think that, look, it was so much fun. It was a lot of work. You know, we were filming for hours every week. We didn't expect to. But now that I actually know what to expect, as I said, I'm terrified and I'd love to do it. It was fun.
For the other people who do have to come back to redeem themselves, do you reckon that they will tone it down a little bit and sort of not be themselves because of the backlash that's happened from season one?
We've had this discussion, and of course that would be the idea. That's what you would like to do. The problem is I don't believe you can do it. I do not believe that over many, many, many hours that I think your true personality comes through anyway, and I think that if you're the sort of person that's likely to say that kind of thing somewhere along the line. So we laugh about redeeming themselves, but the other side of the coin might be, boy, they might really, really put themselves in even worse. It's like a toss of the coin.
And it's all about what the editors choose and sort of how they want to portray you.
Oh, sure is. That's right. We were saying, well, I don't think you're our friends. You know, we were all really good friends with the crew and all of the production team. We go, I'm not sure. But on the other hand, the way that they edited it, gave us a hit show. And how many shows go that people just don't get a hit show? Like, we were amazed it was so popular.
I know, and I think when we look at all the negative publicity that did come about because of the show, one thing that I heard was that if you have a room full of people, half of them are fans of yours and half of them really don't like you, you've got the attention of 100% of the room. So I suppose, you know, even though you've got some negative publicity because of it, you have really captured such a wide audience, and it should really just go to show how popular this show was because of all this feedback, good and bad.
We were thinking when all the newspapers were coming out with all the arguments and everything, I thought those producers will be wringing their hands over this is like free advertising, girls, you know. So, but it was all real, and I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. They want to know, is it scripted? No. Is any of the arguments manufactured? No. Why do we argue? We're tired, we've probably had too much to drink, we're stressed.
And you've got cameras following you 24/7, which would be quite stressful.
Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. We're all used to being the boss.
Of course.
And we're all being the boss in our lives. And now all of a sudden the other people aren't doing what we say. So that causes friction. This looks great. I'm going to join. This is fabulous.
Do you feel like Kate Ritchie on the Good Friday Appeal?
I do a little bit, but I hadn't thought about that. I'd love to be Kate Ritchie, by the way. I think that's a big big compliment.
So we're going to have a bit more of a chat with Janet from Housewives. So we've ascertained that that there will be a season two.
Yes.
And that you're not sure whether you'll be a part of that. It's up to the discretion of the producers. Do you reckon that they'd bring in more housewives? So there was...
Yes, there is talk of them interviewing some other girls and that they're thinking about bringing in some newer housewives. I think they're going to have to change the dynamic a little bit and bring in some other people. So that will be really interesting. And that's why we don't know who the cast are or how many there are going to be. It's all very exciting. But you know what? If I'm not picked up, I'm going to photobomb all their shoots and just really, they've got to do it or I'm going to hassle them the whole time. I know their program now. I know where they go to shoot. Look out.
The botanical copped the flogging, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Imagine I'll be down there at the botanical behind all of them while they're trying to shoot.
Remember me.
And do you think that, and I know that you had an instant bond with Jackie when she joined the show. Do you think that a new person coming in is going to find it quite hard with an already established group and already, I suppose the group's established and already had one season?
I did think that initially, but I do think that there's been a little bit of disagreement among the girls and that a new girl coming in, no, I think there'll be a lot of competition for her friendship. She's a newbie, but we did say that when a new girl does come in, if I'm on the cast with a couple of other girls, that we might just throw her to the wolves because we were thrown last year. And so now we know what we're doing. And so look out, any of you new girls. You come on there, we're just going to throw you to the wolves. You don't know what you're in for. Look out.
But I suppose they're going to half expect a bit of a turbulent start as well. So and I don't know whether Jackie thought that coming into it, whether she knew what she was getting herself in for. But you sort of have to half expect that it wouldn't be all smooth sailing from day one.
Well, we didn't really know the first time, but we do know now, and that is absolutely the case, and look out.
How would you feel if there was a bit of a swap between seasons overseas? So if someone from Atlanta came into the Melbourne crew.
You don't want the Atlanta girls.
No, I'm just thinking.
Would that be? How much fun? Be great. We thought that the show's been bought by some countries overseas, and it hasn't actually been confirmed that it's been bought in the States, but they were saying something to us just a little bit about, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll go away. And I was thinking, boy, that would be great, we'd go away. And then I realised that if we went, it would actually be a promo tour, which means we would be up at 4:30 in the morning. It wouldn't be like a holiday, so you've got to be very careful. They tell you one thing, but you just have to. It's not quite always the way they say it.
A working holiday is rough.
A working holiday is still a holiday.
And is it? You're working on it.
Look, I travel a lot for work. And look, there have been times where I remember being pitched a working holiday going to Rye. And they put me up.
On the Mornington Peninsula.
Yeah, and they put me up in a beautiful apartment. And I was there over Christmas and New Year. And they spent thousands of dollars on this apartment. But I've never worked so hard in my life. So I think you're right. And they pitch it to me like, you can go down to the beach after work. And I ended up going back to the hotel room and being in a fetal position for most of the afternoon.
Exhausted.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Yes. Yeah, I just had to think of that.
As I said, we did that road trip and we were up at 4:30 in the morning every morning. And in the end, I said to them, listen, guys, Real Housewives don't get up at 4:30 in the morning.
What time would you normally get up?
I've got two little dogs that sleep with me and they wake up at 7 o'clock every morning. So I got in at 4 o'clock this morning and I was up at 7.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, yes.
I've got a cat that does the same thing. 6 a.m. every morning, she's walking all over the top of me and wants me to get up to feed her.
Because they think they've had an early night. They think for food. I need to go to the bathroom. That's mine do the bathroom and I think I really have to get up.
Yeah, yeah.
If I sleep in too much, I have a greyhound who is the laziest dog on the planet. They're an amazingly lazy breed. Or they like one quick walk a day. The rest of the time they're on the couch. They say, adopt a greyhound, donate a couch. That's how it ends up. But if I'm, he comes in and barks at me if I haven't gotten up and he's bored, he'll wander in and just do one, he'll whimper a bit first and I'll say, go away, I'm sleeping. And he just does one really loud, authoritative bark, just no, up now, and then he'll walk back out and wait for me to get up.
That's right. We know who the boss in your house is.
Yes, we do.
They take over, don't they?
And speaking of travel, have you travelled a lot?
Yes, I did. I had a job between husbands for about 5 years where I did Melbourne, London, London, Melbourne every 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And so I'd go from London then and go around Europe and work for a couple of weeks. I was running a finance company, an international finance company. And so I really have been – the only places that I'm thinking I probably haven't been is South America. So I've left the best till last.
Wow. Yeah, I'd love to go to South America.
So would I. Hmm. Not just probably because I'm shallow and love Latinos.
Think of all those Latinos over there. That's what I think. Yeah.
And also,
we could go together.
The Aztec and Mayan ruins would also be amazing. I've got a bit of a thing for those as well. But yeah, on the beaches.
I went to Mexico just to go and see some Aztec ruins.
Yeah.
And drag my partner along to Mexico, just to Mexico City for 4 days as a side trip from a trip around the States. Mm. And got to Mexico City and really thought that I should have chosen the beaches instead. So I should have gone to Cancun or something a little bit nicer and got thrust into Mexico City, and the pyramids were great, but the 3.5 days around that were very interesting.
Yeah. I was laughing when you said I went to Mexico City. I think that is hilarious because, yes, it's not a lot there.
No, there's a lot of people. The entire population of Australia is in one city.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty crazy.
I think one of the best things I saw was the Northern Lights. I went up to when it was completely light all the time. I think, was it light all the time? Yes, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning and we had digital clocks and so we didn't know if it was the afternoon, had we slept in, or was it still in the morning? It was light all the time. Then you go up into the hills and all those Northern Lights are just absolutely breathtaking.
That would be absolutely magnificent.
It was magnificent, yes.
I would love to see something like that.
And it goes on for a month or something, a year. So just beautiful and all green and yellow. It was absolutely stunning.
Now, we were speaking off air. I've learned a lot about you in the last 5 minutes off air and a lot of stuff that people wouldn't actually know about you. So, first of all, you don't live in Toorak.
No. I lived in Toorak for 20 years.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, and I moved... I lived in Toorak with my husband. I left my husband. Our holiday house was Red Hill. Mm-hmm. I owned that house. I've got 10 acres down there. I've got an organic garden and it's absolutely beautiful water views. And so I live in Red Hill.
I love Red Hill. It's one of my most favourite places in Victoria. I'm really jealous.
It's so beautiful. I've got a gorgeous little cottage on these 10 acres and it's just fabulous. We're trying to get it off the grid and we're completely organic, so that's my passion at the moment, and I love it. I get down there into the veggie garden. When I was married, my husband and I, probably 95% of what we ate came out of our own garden, which was
fantastic.
Amazing. We would go down in the afternoon with a basket, pick what was ever going, whatever was ripe, bring it up, and that's what we'd have with our dinner and just add meat. Sorry, we're not vegetarians.
You don't need to
that's
apologize.
That's right,
neither
that.
Am I.
Neither am I. Yeah, and that's brilliant. I think a lot of people are now looking for sustainability and to save a bit of money with power. So solar panels are a big deal these days. And you were saying that you've got a project in Mildura as well.
I do have a project in Mildura. I've got 193 houses that I'm doing up there. And
wow.
I was.
That'd be half of Mildura, wouldn't it?
No, it's actually not. Mildura's got so much growth. There's so much happening there. I was so amazed when I went there to do my due diligence. I loved it. It is really, really a booming, booming place, and it's got everything that we've got in Melbourne, just about. And so I wanted to do only a sustainable development. So originally I bought that cottage that I'm in, and we knocked holes in the walls because it was an old cottage, and we put black poly pipe on the roofs, and we put a whole lot of perspex on the windows, and we tested all of the different things that to see if we could find ways that we could use, sustainable initiatives in a way that was a lot less expensive than so we put the poly on the roof and we got really, really, really good results. Really, we got as good as you'd get with a solar hot water heater, and it was $20 worth of poly pipe opposed to what's a solar heater for your water, $2,500.
Yeah,
we found out
that's
some
a government
really,
grant's worth.
Yeah,
that's
are
right.
They still handing those out for people who put solar heaters on their roofs? Probably not.
Not anymore. Not with this government.
No. We're impartial.
Yeah, but and another thing that that blew me away. Your ex-husband used to own Chasers.
Yes, for 22 years, George. Yeah. Big down at Chasers, and now he's got the Love Machine. Obviously, that's why we're always there.
Yeah, and. You were married at Chasers.
I was. I was at Poof Doof last Saturday night. Oh, God. And I was having such a great time. And I remember telling some of the people there from the bar that in 1986, my husband and I were married at Chasers. We were young. We didn't have a lot of money. We had a dance floor. We had a kitchen. We had great music system. So we put all of our guests in there and we had the best party. And, I got married on the dance floor in Chasers.
That's insane. I love that story.
That's so good. It's absolutely fantastic.
And it was a really rockin' party we had because, you know, we had everything there. It was we had the whole club and we had quite a lot of guests. It was wonderful.
That's insane, isn't it?
Were you boogieing while you were saying your vows?
No, we actually didn't. I didn't say the vows on the dance floor. We had our reception there. We went to a little church in Richmond. Yes, because we were married in the Greek Orthodox Church. So then we came back and, we had this big party at Chasers that went on for ages. I remember at one point we went back the next morning and we'd forgotten to eat the cake. In the kitchen, it was this enormous cake.
So we've had Janet in the studios for quite a while. Thank you so long for hanging around for so long.
It's been so much fun. It's been really good fun.
Yeah. It's been fantastic. You're a trooper because you say you haven't done that many radio interviews. You've been keeping us entertained for at least an hour. It's fantastic.
Thank you very much. Thank you. But come on, guys, join up for those memberships. I can't wait to see Paul go on these dates.
It'll
be fantastic.
It would be magnificent.
Yes, and I'll do one that'll mean you've only got 5 left.
Oh,
thank you so much. You see, if Janet's going to sign up, what's your excuse?
I've still got to do mine. There's another one.
I'm going to save mine for my breakfast show.
I know. I knew that would happen. That's only fair.
Home turf first.
No.
So we only need 4 memberships now.
Yeah, 4 memberships to go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. And what is it? Only 20-odd minutes to go.
23 minutes.
And if there's one thing I've learnt from today, people like hearing about other people's bad first dates.
Yes, they do. So if you'd like to hear about Michael's terrible first date, if he has one, I hope for Michael's sake that he doesn't, but for the show's popularity, it would make good radio.
It would, actually, yeah. So I think I should be in charge of deciding where they go.
Okay.
And it should shake things up a little bit.
There'll be 5 first dates as well.
Yes.
So chances are we'll get some good radio out of that. Sounds like an Adam Sandler
movie or something, doesn't it?
Oh, 550 first dates.
Yeah.
I think we need more memberships to force him on 50 dates.
Yeah, I think we'll be on air for 24 hours for that one.
we've had a text in from Scotty, who first of all says, thanks for Madonna, which we played from just before. And he said, hi, boys. Janet is gorgeous. He also frequents Love Machine and knows George and his boys. He loves the music and a dance. Thank you so much, Scotty. That's wonderful. And yes, yes, she is. She's been an absolute delight.
She
Thank
has,
you,
yeah.
Scotty. That is so gorgeous.
And look, I totally loved Real Housewives. I hope that we do get to see you again on season two. Mm. You were fantastic to watch. You brought a great deal of energy and excitement to the show. So I'm really hoping that we do get to see you in season two.
Thank you. I'm hoping to do it too. It'll be a lot of fun. Hoping it'll be different next time. you guys are so much fun. Thank you so much for having me. It's like, I want to stay. No.
Well, you're welcome back anytime you like.
Anytime you like. Give us a bell.
Thank you.
And we'll make
really
a seat
fun.
Ready for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll make the seat a bit nicer, actually. We'll just put some red velour.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Yeah.
I'll get a live mink to warm it for you beforehand. How big are they? I think they're quite small. They're rodent-y sort of critters, aren't they?
A mink? Yeah.
Rodent-y-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe that. You know, I think I'm being a bit silly. We've done it! Yeah,
we have passed our goal of 30.
We have surpassed our many. Yes, we have gotten to a grand total of 32. Thank you, everyone who got in there in the last minute. Sue from Braybrook, Braden from Caulfield, Emma from Northcote, Con from Preston, and John from Travancore. Thank you all so much. We're going to be finding out all about Michael's little social faux pas.
And a big thank
day.
You to Janet from Red Hill as well. We know who that is.
We know who you are.
Yeah,
yes.
So thank you very much.
Little organic Janet. 10 acres, which sounds like a little patch of paradise.
It does, doesn't it? It
sounds magnificent.
It does. So look, we have had an amazing response to Radiothon. A big thank you to everybody for signing up on Backseat. Thank you very much, Callum, for panelling for me today.
My absolute pleasure. And I'm glad that I've managed to expand you a little, grow you as a radio host by making you do the traffic when I didn't want to.
Yeah, you caught me off guard, but it was great. So
Generation Next are up next. Michael will be back with you next week. This is Brett with the news.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.